Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning. You're listening live with Calling All Leaders and Healers with host Barbara White. Barbara White is a gifted intuitive, holistic therapist, and spiritual teacher. She is the creator of the self-acceptance process and has a master's in transpersonal psychology and eco-psychology, a diploma of homeopathy, and is a published author. Called the Midwife to the Soul, Barbara has ignited hundreds into knowing their inherent worth and facilitated the birth of their innate gifts. Barbara is the owner of the Accepted As I Am Center, certified in advanced auricular medicine, Shambhala master, Reiki master, Qigong practitioner, and is a black belt in Isshirinu karate. Her books, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful and Its Self-Acceptance Process and Magnificent You, are available on Amazon. Barbara's drive and passion to teach comes from knowing that if someone is willing to look within and grow, they can be a healer and leader to others. And now I give you your host, Barbara White.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to Calling All Leaders and Healers. Thank you, Courtney, for that introduction. And we're here to celebrate, to acknowledge, to dive deep into what's already within you in a way that is joyful, easeful, and celebrating the good, the beauty, the joy, the prosperity that is constantly wanting to express in, as, and through you. And today we have incredible guests, Connie and Andrew, and I will share more about them, their book, The Trust Frequency. And let me see here. I just want to make sure I got Connie Marlowe and Andrew Bailey, Connie Baxter Marlowe, Andrew Cameron Bailey, and The Trust Frequency. And I will be bringing them on in a few minutes. And so, again, just really setting the stage here that on Calling All Leaders and Healers, we realize, we know that when someone looks within and loves all parts of themselves, loves both the dark and the light, loves both their humanity and their divinity, they actually realize, you who are listening, realize a essence, a authentic self, a soul, whatever you want, an inner being, that is really beyond love and hate, but includes love and hate, that is really beyond insecurity and security, but includes all that, that is all things, and at the same time, uniquely you. The word individual means individuated, that you are individual and individuated, that you are alone yet all one. And that inner work, it's not something that is selfish, it's actually the one of the, that inner work of self-love, that inner work of meditation, journaling, growth, and then taking your insights into your everyday ordinary relationships, taking your insights into your divine nature, into your true self, your essence, your soul, your inner being, or if you call it your Buddha or Christ itself, taking that into your romantic relationships, your interactions at the grocery store, your interactions with your boss or your fellow employees, that is the way that we are, you are, a leader and a healer on the planet, that is the way that we are going to establish this new paradigm on the planet. What do I speak of a new paradigm? I speak of a new paradigm in the sense that there is a power, a grace inside of you that wants to be born. That no longer are we here to keep on fighting for resources, keep on fighting each other, keep on hurting each other, but rather to work in tandem, work in harmony with each other, to collaborate, to be in the collective, to be in a way that can create a sustainable life for humans, for animals, for the earth. That the old model of greed, the old model of fear and hate, that it's beginning to show its head so that it can, or not beginning, it has shown its head so that it can leave. And like the Titanic, when it was going down, that it makes that fight, that when it's starting to sink, it makes a lurch up into the air. It kind of just starts to sink into the ocean, and then there's a moment before it actually sinks. It goes whoop up into the air. It's almost like the horror film, you know, when the creature is about to die, and then you think it's gone, and then all of a sudden it reaches back up into the air. That's pretty much what's happening right now in North America and across the world, is there's that reaching back up. But I don't know if you see it in your life. I see it in my life, and I see it in those people around me. It's really causing people to go within in deep ways and to really ask what are their values and ask those deeper questions like, how do I feel about life and love and sex and money and God, and what am I here to do? Why am I here? Why am I here, and how can I serve? Because when we begin to ask those questions and we begin to go deeper, we go beyond the surface, and we begin to move into that place of saying, love, use me, God, use me, we begin to invite miracles into our life. But when we're so caught up in distractions of entertainment, distractions of the mass media, distractions of caring so much about what people think about us, and when we're caught up in all those distractions, we don't ask those deeper questions. Those deeper questions that really can create some incredible change in your life and in your community. That there is a power, a grace, a beauty, there is prosperity already within you. And the same way that the cell knows how to divide, it knows how to heal, the same way that your liver is doing 1,000 enzymatic reactions in 1 hour, the same way that the embryo knows how to become the baby, the same way the acorn knows how to become the tree, the same way that the bud knows how to become the flower, that there is that intelligence within you, that when you begin to say, I'm willing to grow, I'm willing to love all parts of myself, and then combined with that willingness is a radical self-compassion, because you're not your humanity. So the human condition is we really are crazy. The fear, the competition, the scarcity, the self-attack, the unworthiness, every human has that. Please don't think you're unique in your suffering. Every human has that. And so a willingness to grow, a willingness to love yourself, and then third, how can I serve? And then to wait. Many times people ask, how can I serve? And then they wait for they wait in an unhealthy way of waiting for the universe or God to send to them in FedEx the way to show up. They wait for a FedEx package, you know, some big thing that they're supposed to do. But it really is those everyday acts of life and those ordinary, those little baby steps every day. Every person in front of you is your mission. Your life is your mission. That person in front of you is the person you serve. The person in front of you, your work, what is in front of you, as you show up fully for what's in front of you, life begins to change. But really, in working with people now for over 20 years, people are waiting in an unhealthy way. You know, they're waiting for a big thing for it to change, and then they're also waiting to be all in. Well, I'll really put forth effort when the job is what I want it to be. Or I'll really put forth effort into this relationship when he changes or she changes. But whatever you perceive as lacking in the relationship is something you need to give. Whatever you perceive as lacking in your work is something you need to give. You are here to be a distribution point of love and beauty and joy. And as you do that, as you show up, as you be all in to all, you show up in that moment as much as you can. Okay, and this isn't about perfection, right? We can't. It's going to be a practice. And as you do that, your life can change. You can grow. And God, do not discount the ego that tries to keep you from growing and changing. It will do anything to distract you. Because to really get still and be with fear, to allow that to be the fertilizer to more love, more joy, more beauty, to really get still and admit the ways that you've gotten in your way and to say I'm sorry to yourself and other people, that takes the heart of a warrior. And to begin to show up in a way, in new ways, and to grow, it takes incredible courage to grow. Because what the ego mind will do is say, wow, look what you did last week. Look what you did last year, right? Because growth means you become the next best version of yourself every day. The next best version of yourself every day, which sounds good. But again, the ego will use that as fodder against yourself. Well, you stupid jerk, look what you did yesterday. Well, why didn't you know this before? And I can't tell you how many times I work with people in session and they'll have an insight and they'll go, damn it, why didn't I know that before? And that damn it, that can actually keep people stuck for months or years. So it's growing with a sense, again, of compassion, a willingness to grow, radical self-compassion, and use me, show up in the moment. Let's all take a deep breath together. So my last show, I actually did not have a show last month. I had just my last show, and I'll explain that in a moment, kind of part of my introduction to Connie and Andrew, was Andrew Harvey. And he is such an incredible teacher. His message of combining the wisdom of the mystic with the wisdom of the activist, that when we touch that reality, that we don't try to get anything from it. We touch love. We have that mystical knowing that love is within, and then we combine that with activism of taking action in any way that we can in our life. Pretty much what I was just talking about, but the way that he languages it, the way that he explains it, if you've never gone to his website, Andrew Harvey, his book, The Hope, just phenomenal inspiration. The show is life-changing for me. He is... his way of inspiring, it can't say enough great things. His recent book, Return to Joy, really different than his previous works, but really good. It's a small book, and it offers very simple steps to really returning to your joy and what that means. And how can you return to joy and why that's important on the planet. It's got some dolphins on the front. You can go on Amazon and get that book. Gosh, one of my favorite parts of the show, and there was so many, but yeah, his incredible fire and passion of what's happening on the planet, and that anyone you know that is really losing hope or wondering what the heck is going on and why things are falling, perceiving that all things are falling apart, really needs to tap into Andrew Harvey's work. If you haven't gone on YouTube, he has some great lectures on YouTube that are really worth looking into. All right, so I've had so many changes and growth. There's so much to tell, but yet only so much time, and I have some incredible guests to bring on. I met Connie and Andrew out in Tulum, Mexico, and I knew they were my big sister and brother. I just felt a resonance with them right away. Didn't know exactly why, but it just, you know, you can feel that. You can feel when there's that people that are also committed to a deep inner love and outer love, that are really committed to showing up in life and being servants to love. And I got to stay. This conference that I was at was a collective gathering on peace and on love with all these world changers that gather together. It's Y Tulum. And I got to meet, like I said, Connie and Andrew, many other people, did a few workshops there. I also, I have to mention, had the experience of falling off a motorcycle going 50 miles an hour, 50 plus, and right beforehand, the power of prayer, the power of, you know, when I speak of prayer, I mean declaring as if it's already done, knowing that you're not trying to make anything happen, you're not beseeching a deity, that spirit, love, beauty is already complete, quantum field or grace is already there. And so right before I felt the accident about to happen, I declared that I was protected, that I could feel the earth protecting me, I declared that I was safe, I knew it, and about 30 seconds later, hit the pavement at 50 miles an hour, and did not break bones. I was wearing a tiny little dress, and I had no road rash. And I knew after that that miracles were possible for everyone. I knew that it was through that declaration that I said that I was safe. And I was with Connie and Andrew afterwards. My partner Jeremiah and I, we met them. They had waited for us, and they took us back to our home there, or back to where we were staying. Have had some experiences with Connie and Andrew out in Mexico. So Connie Marlowe and Andrew Bailey wrote an incredible book called The Trust Frequency. And I highly recommend that you check out this book. They have a great resource online as well and some lectures on YouTube. But get their book, really get their book. It's called The Trust Frequency, 10 Assumptions for a New Paradigm. And it's The High Road to Happiness. And they're going to talk about the 10 assumptions and about the trust frequency, and I'm so excited to bring them on. Let me tell you a little bit about Connie. Connie grew up in Maine in a family of visionary philanthropists, sorry, Connie, philanthropists and politicians, graduated from UC Berkeley with an honors degree in economics in 1968 and went to raise three children in Aspen, Colorado. Connie has a unique, inspiring view distilled from more than 20 years of interaction with visionary Native American elders in both North America and Mexico, for whom she creates forums to share the vision of the nature of the universe. Her website is www.theamericanevolution.com. And I can tell you, Connie has a passion and a knowing of she has a knowing of the universe that comes through in her teachings and who she is. I can't wait for us to connect with her. Andrew Bailey. Andrew was born in England and grew up in South Africa, where he studied the arts and sciences and lectured in mathematics and chemistry. He sailed to the United States in 1969 and settled in Santa Cruz, California, where he interacted with a number of leaders of the emerging consciousness movement. He later raised five children in New York, where he co-founded Indigenous Heritage LTD, a 501(c) nonprofit organization, which works with the endangered calamari bushmen in South Africa. And I can say about Andrew's wit and humor and how he brings forward these really universal, profound messages with a sense of joy and ease. I can't wait for us to connect with him. I don't see anything else to introduce them. I think that's enough for now. I can say there's a whole bunch of information on their website that's really valuable, but I think the best thing to do would bring them on right now. So, Courtney, if you could please bring on Connie and Andrew, that would be great.
Welcome to the show,
Connie.
Hi, Andrew? Barbara. We're here in Colorado. We're so happy to join you.
Hello, Barbara. Colorado. All right.
thank you for coming on to the show. Yeah, let me say that the work we were all doing together down there in Mexico has continued and has not stopped yet. Ever since we got back from Mexico, we've been at an amazing intentional community. It's a retreat center. It's a 350-acre ranch. And people like Barbara Marks Hubbard is here. And we are continuing the conversation that we were a part of when we were with you and Jeremiah down in Mexico.
Wonderful. So, Connie, Andrew, why did you write the trust frequency? If you want to start there, we can, or we can start somewhere else. But what was the impetus to writing that book?
Well, Barbara, as a young person, I realized that humanity was out of balance, that we weren't living the love that we are. And I asked the question, what's missing in our paradigm that has us out of balance? Because we were living in a scientific paradigm that couldn't answer all the questions of extraordinary phenomena that would come up. And I'm like, I'm not going to live my life aligned with a set of assumptions that can't answer obvious things that happen. And so I went seeking the missing pieces of the paradigm and looked in Europe and looked, you know, wherever I could, and I found, when I opened a book of Native American poetry in Santa Fe, New Mexico in the 70s, I got it. Here are 500 Indian nations that have keys to the missing pieces of the paradigm. And from that time on, visionary elders started coming into my life and showing me through my experiences and just through witnessing their way of life and who they are, what they know, and their interconnectivity to all that is and to what we have now dubbed the conscious loving universe. Because in the Native way, a deer will show up in your path to teach you something. Okay, how does that deer get there? You know, so we've put together this trust frequency concept. It's actually a construct on how the universe works, core assumptions about the nature of the universe that we feel replace erroneous, outdated assumptions that have caused a split in the human psyche. You know, your work is addressing the individual and coming to self-love. And so that's what I feel it's probably best for us to address that aspect of this work. And so anyway, that's my story. And I just came to see that Jesus describes it on the Sermon on the Mount, this way of understanding and trusting. You know, don't worry where your food's going to come from, where your clothes are going to come from. Look at the lilies in the field. You know, that sort of stuff. And John Lennon describes it in Imagine. If we just take the words of Imagine and say, okay, that's the true nature of the universe. You know, I trust that. Mm-hmm. That is what's real. I'm going to live like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he describes it almost, you know, in detail. But that's my story, and Andrew can share his story.
Yeah, for
Barbara,
sure.
Barbara, did you want to say something there? I thought I heard you start a sentence.
Oh, no, I'm you're going to hear me say, yeah, that's about it. No, I've same question to you, Andrew. What was the impetus for Trust Frequency for you?
All right, well, I started my path back when I was around age 14. I grew up in South Africa, as you said. And amazingly, we had this little group of teenagers who were studying Zen Buddhism and et cetera. We were just fascinated by the other possibilities of being a human being that were not necessarily presented to us either in the traditional culture, in the churches, in high school, and so on. So one of our groups started bringing these books to school, and I personally got fascinated, which really started me on my journey. One of those books, strangely enough, was by an American named Jack Kerouac. It was called On the Road. And if you've read the works of Jack Kerouac and Neil Cassidy, you know that those guys went on a search for consciousness. They traveled this country, and one of those books is called The Dharma Bums. And so we were reading that kind of material as kids, and this just basically started something.
Wow.
And fast forward to 1969, I ended up sailing across the Atlantic in search of something that I had read about, probably in a Time magazine or Life magazine, something called cosmic consciousness. So this was a theme that remained with me. I got to Northern California in early 1970, and I was sort of in pursuit of the summer of love, and I was in pursuit of this other thing called cosmic consciousness. And that started me on a whole new path. Fast forward to 2003, I meet this gorgeous young lady named Connie Baxter Marlowe, who has been spending a lot of time, as she just said, with Native American elders, and has, as we start talking, we didn't stop talking probably for the first 2 months after we met, and I just listening, I said, Connie, you have to write a book. Because what she was putting forth was an articulation of the spiritual path, if you will, of the nature of the universe, of how to get there from here, all of those things I had been seeking, and I'd been spending time with some very significant, well-known spiritual teachers on and on for decades. And Connie, quite honestly, stated something simpler, clearer, and I think more relevant to the individual than anybody I had actually met up to that moment. So I ended up writing the book. So the skeleton of the book is Connie's construct, her vision or view or articulation of the nature of the universe. In other words, the nature of how things work, how we as human beings exist within the universe, what the laws of the universe are, which is not what we are taught in physics in high school or college. It's more from the inside, from the operator's standpoint. And what I've been realizing for a long time, as had Connie, is that humanity really was running on an outdated and even erroneous operating system. Our operating system is simply the thoughts, the opinions, the beliefs, the worldview that drives us. And so what we offer in the book is simply an alternative set of assumptions, and we just randomly chose 10. You remember the 10 commandments. So how about the 10 assumptions? So just to take 10 fundamental beliefs, which really ultimately are just opinions about the nature of how things are, which we as little children had received from our parents, from our school, from television, from our ministers at church, you name it, from our friends. 10 assumptions that had become so fundamental to the way we perceived life, literally the lens through which we saw life. And so we just made a list of 10 of them and came up with alternatives that were in alignment with the paradigm that Connie had been describing in her conversations with me. So that's how the book originated. And the structure is just simply this very simple sort of 10-part book with a sort of an introduction at the beginning and a conclusion at the end and some true trust tales, some stories at the end of people who have actually put this into effect and had miraculous things unfold in their lives. So that's how the book arrived, and I can summarize the book in 4 words. If your listeners out there, Barbara, would like a summary, like, wait a minute, that's a lot of stuff. How about 4 words? Trust the loving universe. That's really the essence of it. And trust the process. Trust yourself. Trust your intuition. Trust your inner knowing. And by simply trusting the process, even when things outside look gloomy, look difficult, look challenging, trust the process. Trust the loving universe because there is nothing else but the loving universe. There's no such thing as anything else. It is impossible to escape it or get away from it. We just don't know about it. We forgot, and we've been actually deluded by a set of beliefs that came from elsewhere. Did we choose those beliefs? We did not. Can we change them? Yes, we can. That's the process we're talking about.
So trust the process. Nothing but anything else exists, and diluted by a set of beliefs, and our beliefs being the filter in which we really experience reality. I can see why you have such an emphasis on it's like you need to look at your assumptions, and because if your assumptions are wrong and you're experiencing life, people are going to hear these things like trust the process, and they're going to be like, what are you two talking about? You are completely crazy. You don't realize I have bills to pay and my knees hurt and and I got people yelling at me. My life totally sucks, and you want me to trust the process?
Okay, well, what are these tools?
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Well said, Barbara. Okay, we don't have much time, so what I'd like to do is give people a few tools to take home and ponder and see how they might shift one's perspective on one's life and actually allow one to move into that trust of the conscious, loving, abundant universe. Okay? So... So 3 of the keys for people are from our definitions and our 10 assumptions. Okay, I mean, because this is a big it's a construct on how the universe works. So to do that in 5 minutes is pretty challenging. But I will just give a couple of tools. Okay,
We do have like 15 minutes. I don't know if you need to get off the phone sooner, but we do have about 15, 20 minutes.
No, I don't.
So you have a little bit more time.
I need to tell you something, and then you need to comment, and we need to discuss, you know. So we have 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And still, that's not a lot of time. I totally understand.
Yeah. So what I want to say is that with our definitions, we define humanity as a collection of divine, autonomous, sovereign beings who have chosen incarnate on earth to learn and grow on their soul's journey to wholeness, each with an individual purpose and a unique gift. Right there, that's a big deal. And so, along with that, we say there is only free will, okay? So our overarching act of free will was when we chose to incarnate on earth to learn and grow on our soul's journey to wholeness with a purpose and a gift, okay? That was our overarching act of free will. We said, okay, I will go to earth. I will go on this journey to wholeness, which a journey to wholeness we feel is the journey to self-love, the journey to take all those pieces, all those aspects of ourselves that people have reflected that they that we don't work for them, which means that it doesn't work for us. We have negated those aspects of ourselves. Okay, so everything serves this journey to wholeness, this journey to what your work is about, Barbara, which is people coming into understanding they are magnificent divine beings with a purpose and a gift. We promise to bring the gift of ourselves to the party, and the whole universe is showing up to be sure that we bring that gift, our essence, to the party. The whole universe is waiting, is counting on us to be our true selves. And so, therefore, with the idea that there's only this journey to wholeness, there's only free will, and here's the kicker, there's only love. Okay? So how are we going to explain the things we see as not love? Well, we feel we have resolved that paradox because we feel that then we don't understand the nature of that love that is all things and drives all things, okay? The nature of that love is unconditional. Oh, everybody like, oh, well, that's nothing new. We all know about unconditional love. Well, what we have redefined unconditional love or expanded our understanding of unconditional love. I feel we are stuck thinking that love is kindness and compassion and empathy and all those warm, cuddly things that we think of as love, okay? Well, if there is only love and only free will and only the soul's journey to wholeness, then, in fact, everything we see as not love in our lives is, in fact, love, the conscious loving universe showing up for us so that we can go deep inside and come to love ourselves. So everything that happens in our life is an experience to take us on this journey to wholeness and show us those parts of ourselves we do not yet love so that we can do the work that you're helping people do. So I don't know if I've made sense, you know, wow. If I've given people tools to understand that everything happens in our life for us, not to us. Everything, absolutely everything. Okay, so in the extreme, if I came on my journey to wholeness to experience abuse, I'm going to incarnate into a family of people who are going to oblige my soul, are going to abuse me in one way or another, verbally, physically, whatever it is that I came to experience, my soul is actually magnetizing that behavior. And it's not that I have responsibility for all the nasty things in my life and I'm a bad person and I've obviously, you know, manifested all this stuff in my life. No, it is, we flip it to understand it is the conscious loving universe showing up for us. It's showing us how loved we are, that we came on this journey to wholeness, we came to have this experience, and we're getting it. And that is for us. It is the gift of the universe and the gift of that person to us. So ultimately we end up in gratitude. So how's that?
Powerful, powerful stuff. That is so powerful. So you that first part that say it again. That many people assume that unconditional love means that it's kindness. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that we're stuck. I got that. We're stuck. We just have a habit of thinking that unconditional love means kindness and compassion and empathy, and I'm going to. You know, be kind and empathetic and compassionate to you regardless of what your soul is asking me to do. Okay? So if your soul is asking me to be really mean to you right now, then it's my job to be really mean to you right now so that your soul can experience that. But if I'm all stuck in being nice, you know, I say never accuse me of being nice. Okay? Because I'm going to be real, I'm going to be whatever it takes, you know, in the moment, whatever it is. So that's what we are bringing in this book, to understand that's a gift to you. If I'm mean to you and I say something, oh, you're just like Dad, and I'm never going to speak to you again. You know, you're just being, you know, you're reflecting everything that I hated about my dad. All right? Well, guess what? Those are the things the wounds that need healing. Oh, okay, well, I've done all that work. You know, I'm done with that. I've done it. I've healed it all. Well, guess what? You haven't. If it's still showing up, you haven't done all the work. It's deep. It's an onion peeling layer. There's still work that needs to be done. When the past is present, that's when you know the loving universe is showing you stuff that still has yet to get into the light and be released, so that we know we are these magnificent beings of divine light that has come to bring this gift to the world.
When the past has become present, that's the opportunity. FOG, that another effing opportunity for growth that you said down in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, FOG.
And that everything is here to show us
we
that
feel
we're
these
love
are tools
that.
To help you, people like you, the work you're doing, these are tools to get to that core underneath thing that's keeping people from that self-love, from that healing, that split in the psyche, you know, because of these core assumptions about the nature of the universe and this nature of unconditional love.
So, Barbara, let me, I think we only have a rather few minutes left now. So this book, The Trust Frequency, is about, it basically offers 10 assumptions, 10 alternative assumptions for a new paradigm. So what's everybody, we've heard this term, we need a paradigm shift. What's a paradigm? A paradigm is a set of beliefs or assumptions about the way things are and the way we do things, the way we operate. So what's an assumption? It's a belief, an unquestioned belief. So we're talking about questioning our belief systems. So I'm just going to mention two out of the 10 assumptions, which to me is absolutely foundational. It's the first assumption. And it's about the actual nature of the universe. What is the universe? Now, if you went through high school and college and had basic science, you were told that the universe is this incredibly complex, amazing, incomprehensible system of everything from subatomic particles and quarks and electrons and protons and neutrons, all the way up to planets and solar systems and galaxies. And now we're told that there are billions, if not trillions, of galaxies. And there may be all sorts of other meta-universes and on and on and on, depending on how far you take the story. However, there's never any mention or even any thought that universe knows anything about you or about me. Does it know I exist? No, because the assumption is that the universe itself is not conscious. Now, fact number one, the universe is not only conscious, it is consciousness. It is the only consciousness there is. We're all a part of that. So consciousness came before the Big Bang, before anything was, before anything happened. That's one of the sort of hitting the reset button. So rather than the universe being a lifeless clockwork giant machine, it is a conscious, loving universe of which we are an inextricable part. I like to think of us as roving sensory organs of the divine, of the conscious, loving universe. That, once you take that on, you just go, wait a minute, okay, the universe loves me, I am part of the universe, and I am a conscious entity who is a part of this extraordinary phenomenon that we think of as the universe. That really, really changes things. Instead of being alone in the dark and the cold, we are now in the warmth, and we are nurtured, and we're held in the loving hands of the universe. That's the first assumption. It is a conscious, loving universe. There is only love. The other one I wanted to mention, because this is the one that's got us into a lot of trouble, is that our thoughts generate the reality that we experience. So So it's really, really important where we put our attention, because if we focus our attention on the news and all of the apparently bad things that are going on in the world, and if we put our attention on our troubles and our problems, guess what? We empower precisely those things because we create reality with the power of our consciousness. Okay, I believe that's the third assumption. When you look at that and you realize that and you wake up and you go, okay, and the moment you catch yourself in that good old tape loop of I'm not good enough or I'm not going to be able to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever it is, then you are empowering and creating and locking yourself, your life, and those around you into a reality that you have actually created using the incredible power of your consciousness. Now, by watching your thoughts, watching one's thoughts, really self-reflecting and saying, wait a minute, I have been really allowing myself to get sort of sucked down this rabbit hole, and now I'm depressed and I'm miserable and I can't see the way out. Well, there's a way out. There is a way out, and we have to remember what that is and reemerge into this beautiful, beautiful world and put our thoughts and our attention on what we want, what could be, what can be, and even what is, because this planet is paradise. It is literally that heaven that people think they have to die to get there. It's here. This is it. We've just forgotten.
Mm. And so our fourth assumption, we define consciousness. He said we create reality by the power of our consciousness and dealt with our thoughts. But what underlie our thoughts are what we call the seven A's of consciousness, and we put them in one sentence. And so I will tell you that one sentence. With expanded awareness and accurate assumptions, we choose our attitude, consciously direct our attention, align with our highest inner knowing, take committed action, and allow the loving universe to manifest beyond our wildest dreams.
Someone can just ponder on that sentence, or anyone can ponder on that sentence and take it on a nature walk or take it into meditation or really just look at that one sentence is a roadmap into self-awareness and changing your life. I remember the first time I heard you say it down in Mexico, I was like, Oh, I love words. I love how they can capture spirit. And what a great sentence.
Yeah, seven A's. It's seven words that begin with A that we can check when we get up in the morning, during the day, we're standing in line. We can say, okay, where are my seven A's right now? You know, my awareness, my assumptions, my attitude, my attention. What am I aligned with? What action am I taking? Am I allowing the loving universe, stepping back and allowing the loving universe? Because what the universe wants for us is more than we can fathom, okay? So we need to get out of the way. And personally, I don't ever tell the universe what I want because the universe wants for me way more than I can fathom, and that's what I want, okay? I want what the universe wants for me. I want to watch the signs and align myself and my action. See, that's the kicker, is the action. To get into this frequency, and it's actually physics. It's actually a frequency thing. It's not a judgment thing. It's a frequency. It's a physical physics frequency of the nature. What we're saying is that the different frequencies have different laws, and we have the free will to change our frequency. And we're giving tools to increase our vibratory level so that the reality we actually live in is abundant. It is joyful, is things happen that we couldn't have imagined in our other reality. I mean, frankly, us getting to Mexico, a Chinese foundation, the CEO of a Chinese foundation sent us to Mexico and sent us on a journey for 2 weeks after the conference for me to reconnect with the Mayan Indians that I'd known in the 90s, all paid for by a Chinese foundation with no strings attached. I couldn't have imagined that. Okay, so what's what we want? You know, if we allow and trust and get into this frequency, truly get into this frequency, then the magic happens.
Such a powerful statement that it's not a judgment thing. So you said kind of off the cuff, it's so powerful that it's a frequency, not a judgment thing, a free will choice to change your frequency. And people get so trying to beseech an unwilling deity, or trying to prove their worthiness, or trying to prove that they're good enough before, and not realizing that's actually that whole, like, to your point, those are based on faulty assumptions, and that so that statement's not a judgment thing; it's a frequency thing. How would you?
Yeah, it's not judgment day that's coming; it's choice day. Are we choosing to do the work, clean out our aura, clean out our unconscious, get our frequency up to stay with the earth as she moves into a higher frequency? It's not judgment day in any way, shape, or form, because we have the free will. Mm. We're loved so much we can have any reality we want.
And that not telling the universe what you want, but being guided by the signs, and having that level of availability and openness. What are some things that people can do to cultivate that trust frequency in their life?
Well, for one thing, look at core assumptions. And for another, just to trust and watch signs and know that it's a conscious, loving universe, that it's all showing up through people, through, you know, like the Native Americans, the deer that comes in your path when you're taking a walk and you're all full of anger and the deer says, you know, be peaceful, you know, watch the signs. It's a conscious, loving universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your keys mm-hmm. disappear when you're trying to get out the door to make an appointment, and your keys put themselves someplace you can't find them, I mean, actually, it gets to that level of the consciousness. As far as I'm concerned, your keys are actually conscious, mm-hmm. and they can actually change their location if they want to help you be late for that meeting so that, you know, whatever, you can't be late anyway. You know, in the Native American way, mm-hmm. there is no time. There's only perfect timing. If you're there, you're there. If you're not, you're not. You know, you can't be late, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just to understand the conscious, loving, abundant nature of the universe. Would you give them any advice, Andrew?
Yeah, I would just go back to the first thing I said, which was trust the process. Trust the conscious, loving universe. Know that you are loved. That was one of my biggest challenges. God, it was probably 20 years ago I realized that my biggest challenge was to believe that I was loved. It took an entire process. Once I awakened to that, and finally, about probably 7 years later, I go, okay, I am loved. And once I expanded that being loved by other humans to being loved by a conscious, loving universe, for me, that changed everything. So to trust that, and to trust the process, and to trust anything that we find ourselves going through, whether it be a disease or a divorce or on and on, life is challenging. Whew. And just allow it to unfold. Because once we trust, there's a little metaphor I'll finish with, which is imagine you're a caterpillar. And we from the outside, we know that caterpillar is going to go into a cocoon and it is going to emerge as this glorious butterfly. But does the caterpillar know that? How does it feel to be the caterpillar? Imagine you're a caterpillar on a tree branch, and you've spent your entire life eating these delicious leaves and hanging out in the sunshine, and you're very happy with the way things are. But all of a sudden, it's all falling apart. How does that feel? Does anyone listening to the show feel like everything is falling apart? We look out at the world and go, whoa, wait a minute. However, trusting the process, trusting that we're on an evolutionary upward spiral, which happens to be the 10th assumption, that humanity is actually moving upward and forward, and we have our ups and downs. It's the spiral. We keep coming back around to the same place with a higher level of awareness, a higher level of consciousness. We've now created the internet. Now the what's called the noosphere, the sphere of consciousness around the planet, has taken a quantum leap. And all of a sudden, an idea, such as the idea that we live in a conscious, loving universe, an idea can spread worldwide in a matter of a very, very short time. So trust the process. Trust that the evolutionary unfoldment is going exactly the way it should, and that you and I and all of us are a part of that.
Whew. All right. Wow, what a great attunement. Gosh, thank you so much. Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Andrew. Such incredible golden nuggets of frequency aligning, belief shifting information that can empower people and help them to live the life that spirit, that their unique vibration has commissioned for them. And so thank you so much. Thank you to both of you.
Well, thank you for having us on the show. What a treat to have some time with you, Barbara.
And I just wanted to mention that we do have a website. Right, it is www.thetrustfrequency.net. Not .com, not .net, thetrustfrequency.net.
Okay.
And if you Google Connie's name, Connie Baxter Marlowe, with no E, Marlowe, O-W, or me, Andrew Cameron Bailey, you'll find us. We're all over the place, and we're easy to find, and we love you, and we wish you a truly joyful rest of eternity.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your blessings, and thetrustfrequency.net. All right.
Yeah, and we do have talks that we've given on that website under media, so
under media.
People can go in if they want to.
YouTube channel. Oh, yeah.
They can there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
And the book is on Amazon as well. And so we'll carry on and onward to peace on earth. And heaven
onward
on earth.
To peace on earth and changing one life at a time and just grateful for all the people that got their frequency upbooted and their minds inspired and open through this work. So thank you, Connie. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for being on Calling All Leaders and Healers.
Okay, much love, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. So we have just a few minutes, and just again, thanking Connie and Andrew for their work and this powerful message of the trust frequency. And before I talk about who's going to be on for next week, why don't we all just take 1 or 2 minutes and together just feel in our bodies these messages that Connie and Andrew have brought, that we live, like, how would it feel in your body to know that you live in a conscious, loving universe? And don't let your mind think this. Just let your feet and your legs feel this. So you ask that question, what would it feel like in my body to know that I am loved? Like Andrew said, the biggest challenge for people is to know that they're loved. So what would it feel like in your body to know that you live in a conscious, loving universe? Again, not a thought thing. Let your breath and your body answer you. So I'm going to go quiet for just like 10 seconds. Ask that question. And then breathe into your body. What would it feel like in my body to know I live in a conscious, loving universe? Beautiful. And just feel into that. Breathe into that. Look for that. Feel that energy in your body. What may have come up for some of you is some resistance to that. That's all right. And what may have come up for some of you is you begin to feel into that vibration, that you begin to change your frequency. Like what Connie said, it's not a judgment thing. There's not something that you're having to do to earn your worth, that it's actually humble to accept that your good, your greatness, your beauty is already given, and you're just uncovering, opening. You're not trying to get anything. You're trying to open. You're not trying to heal anything. You're just asking to reveal it. You're not trying to make anything happen. It's an opening. And I love their message that unconditional love is not this mushy, squishy, kindness, nice stuff, that life is challenging and that those challenges are actually a gift, that their soul is aligning that. I love what Connie said about, you know, if my soul's asking you to be mean to you, that's actually unconditional love. Whoa, whoa, because we have in our culture such a powerful sense of entitlement. And it's like last week I worked with a client that she was from Ethiopia and had been left in another country for 5 years to survive, had had to pave her own way when she was 16. And there was no self-pity. There wasn't a strong energy of self-pity in her field. And stuff that I was asking her to heal went like, I don't know, 5 times faster than some of my North American clients. And I was like, what is that? What is that? Well, she just knew that life was meant to be challenging. She didn't believe, because in our materialistic society, we think if I don't have the car and the house and everything hasn't gone perfectly for me, then I somehow haven't appeased God. It's somehow proof of my unworthiness that I'm not good. And, it's Judeo-Christian teachings. It's a North American righteousness. It's materialism. And she didn't have that. She just knew that life was meant to be challenging. And so I love the way Connie and Andrew framed it, that unconditional love doesn't mean life it's going to always be peaceful. It will be challenging. And yet you're in a conscious, I love what Andrew said, it's conscious, that there's, it's not a lifeless roving machine, that there's a, there's an energy, an anima that's loving you, that's seeking to love you. Whoa, such great stuff, such incredible stuff. So next month I have on Will Meacham, and he is, oh, my God, one of the greatest teachers of mind-body connection. He was a surgeon and had a serious illness, and he'll tell you his story, serious illness where he couldn't do surgery anymore. And kind of like, you ever seen the movie Doctor Strange? Well, Will Meacham is a Doctor Strange for the everyday life. Like, he went from being a surgeon and then realized that it was the mind-body connection, and that how that our body is not just a temple, because I know you probably have heard that, but our body is a living gift. That body awareness, he teaches body awareness in a way that I have never ever experienced. He brings a depth of knowing to our body is spirit, our body is part of this, not just part, it is the energy of the conscious loving universe, using Connie and Andrew's terminology. But gosh, I cannot wait to bring on Will Meacham. And I just want to make sure that is in fact my guest, because those that know me know I love speaking about the universe, and I'm very good at changing people's lives. It's what I'm here to do. but sometimes I get details screwed up. So I want to make sure it is in fact Will Meacham, and not, because I'm also going to have in the following month some incredible children's spiritual book authors, and The Hugging Store, and a few others that I believe is the next month. So hopefully I got my right months right, but either way, it's going to be an incredible show. It's going to be inspirational. It's going to remind you of who and what you truly are, and it's going to bring you into the energy of what is seeking to emerge of you, what is seeking to be born through you, and knowing that as you show up for life in that way of use me. You show up saying, yes, I live in a conscious loving universe. Yes, my body is this incredible temple, and there's more good, more joy that's seeking to express. And yet, it is going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy because, you know, hate, cynicism, and being cruel is easy. It's easy. It's not too hard to be cynical. It actually takes effort and work to open up, to align, to practice every day to remind yourself what the truth is, to have some form of practice, whether it is Course in Miracles, meditation, reading the trust frequency, listening to the show. You got to remind yourself every day, because if you don't, then we can get hypnotized by thinking that our good, our joy is somehow going to come into that next, you know, thing, that I'm somehow going to, that my life will be complete once I get that right outfit or I get the approval of so-and-so. And you and I both know that's just not true. Although we can all get hypnotized into thinking that our security is in a person, our security is in some type of external achievement. And that greatest security, the greatest security is remembering who and what you are. The greatest confidence comes in knowing that you are a unique expression of the Most High, that you are love, you are Christ, you are Buddha. That's the greatest security, that alignment with your true self. So coming up, we have those shows. I also in the beginning of May, I will be doing a workshop series in Ann Arbor called Romancing the Beloved Within. Romancing the Beloved Within. Oh, it's going to be a powerful series. Please contact me about that if you're in the Ann Arbor area. Also, I will be doing the self-acceptance process certification course in 2018. I'm already filling up for that course, powerful, powerful course of teaching you how to really stand in that new vibrational set point that heals others, and that how your presence and how you have a powerful effect on those around you. We study epigenetics. We study how to change your beliefs. We study the self-acceptance process, and it has an eco-psychology or nature-based practices. Powerful. The group this year, oh, my God, it's one of the best groups, one of the most powerful teachings yet, and I know even next year is going to be even more amazing. Just incredible stuff. I'm so grateful to be the mouthpiece for the earth and the mouthpiece for the angels and spirit. I'm so grateful. So grateful, grateful, grateful. Thank you so much for listening, and know that there's a reason you heard this show, and that if you thought of somebody who needs to hear this show or know about the Body, Mind, Spirit radio, please pass this on. Please take that risk in letting people know. I know it's, you may think you're going to be a weirdo or you might get judged a little bit. So what? Be a weirdo for love. Take that risk in being more yourself. It's the most important risk to take. Much love for you. You can look on my website at barbarawhite.com or contact me here in Detroit, Michigan, 734-455-1438. Shine bright. Many blessings.